God's Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. This is Will Rice, and First Light is a brief Bible challenge encouraging you to read God's Word, to think about God's Word, and to live it in real life. So back in August, the administration building here at the Bill Rice Ranch burned. It basically was consumed. There's still the pad, there's still the walls, and we're going to rebuild, and we're thankful for that. But a 20,000 square foot building basically goes up in smoke in a relatively short amount of time. Now, I have to tell you that that felt like a calamity on August 29. That felt like a disaster. But you know, calamities are relative, because as big as that fire was at our camp in Arizona up in the high country on the Mogollon Rim, fire is a very real danger, not just for a building, but for entire cities or sometimes entire counties. If you live in California, you know the danger of such fires. But even that, a fire is relative to, say, a tornado. A tornado can destroy an entire swath expanding through several states. So no one likes tornadoes, but that's relative to those who've lived through a hurricane, which, you know, is not just isolated in one spot, but can take up a mass area. I know people whose homes were destroyed in Florida because of the most recent hurricanes. And in some cases, the real damage was done by flooding, for which they had no insurance. They didn't have insurance, technically speaking, for flooding. So the point is that calamities are relative. That is, you know, something may be engulfing my entire world, but there may be something that's even bigger yet. Can I tell you something? All those calamities are dwarfed by the concept of a universal flood. The Bible does teach this. The Bible talks about a universal flood. And yet the Bible says in Genesis chapter 6, verse 8, But Noah, despite all the devastation to come, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That word grace, that is, I think, the first occurrence of that word in the Bible. There are a couple words that are translated grace, but Noah found God's goodness, God's kindness, God's loving favor, even in the middle of a wicked day and a wicked world. So nothing on this planet is greater than the grace of God. I don't know what you're going through today. I don't know what problems you have today, but nothing on this planet is greater than the grace of God, the judgment of God for that matter, but the grace of God, not the giants in your life. Verse 4 of chapter 6 says there were giants in the earth in those days. And then later it says there were mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. So there were giants. Can I just tell you something? Those giants were nothing in comparison to the flood that came and the grace that God gave to Noah. God's grace is greater than the wickedness of this earth. Verse 5 says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And yet, God's flood was greater than that wickedness, and God's grace was greater than that wickedness. God's grace is greater than the majority. I don't know about you, but sometimes I wish I could be in the majority on something once in my life. In verse 11 of chapter 6, the Bible says, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So this was all-inclusive, from one pole to the other, from one end of the earth to the other. It was a world filled with violence and with wickedness. And yet, the judgment that came was far greater than all of this, and, which is even more wonderful, God's grace, God's goodness, God's kindness to those who look to Him. It was greater than all these things, greater than giants, greater than wickedness, greater than the majority. The Bible says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. In chapter 8, verse 1, the Bible says, and God remembered Noah. So friend, look, you may think it just seems overwhelming. There's no way I can win the world. No, but you can do what's right yourself. You can influence the circle of people around you and leave to God how much that makes an impact on the world beyond. I think we should try to win our world, but we should begin where we are. You know, you think about Noah. Noah saved his family, and we are descendants of Noah today because he did. So as I've said before, I may not be able to change the world I give my kids, but I can change the kids I give my world. And in doing that, I may actually change the world itself. And that's exactly what Noah did. In Psalm 93, the Bible says, "The Lord reigneth." God is monarch. He's clothed with majesty. Verse 2 says, "Thy throne is established of old. Thou art from everlasting." So God is ever powerful and everlasting. Psalm 93:3 says, "The floods have lifted up, O Lord, the floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves." This is not a reference to the floods on the ground. This is a reference to the floods of people who are lifting up their voice against God. So what's the upshot of this? "The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. Thy testimonies," your truth, your word, "are very sure. Holiness becometh thy house, O Lord, forever." So what is the point? The point is, I don't need to please everybody. I don't need to please everyone. I need to love everyone, hate sin, love the truth, and have confidence that it will work. Because nothing on this planet, not the giants in my path, not the wickedness in my heart, not the majority around me, nothing on this planet is greater than the grace of God.